Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
A very special day at the Geelong Botanical Gardens. Jess, we've popped a little radio kit into a cooler bag and you are at the Botanical Gardens today. Can you explain to everyone what is exactly going on?
I'm standing in the conservatory right now looking at the corpse flower. As soon as you walk in, you get this like waft hit you. It's just, I mean, I've never smelled like rotting flesh, but I mean, it definitely doesn't have a pleasant smell. It kind of smells like, you know, when you open a packet of mincemeat from the supermarket and you're like, maybe it's still good for another day. Not really sure. That's the smell it is.
Okay.
That's the smell it is.
Now, the significance of this is people have been watching this for the last few days. It bloomed at about 12:30. It's only going to maybe bloom for 48 hours maximum. And the next time we might see this is 10 years. So, Jess, I'm jealous that you've got to go down and check it out. There is a live stream on geelongaustralia.com.au. I can't see you yet, Jess.
I'm around the other side, so I've gone in the exit.
Okay.
I weaseled my way in. There's a huge line. Like, if you want to come down today, I'd probably give it like maybe an hour to settle the line because there is a long wait, and people are coming through thick and fast. But you don't want to leave it too long because the flower has just bloomed and I don't know how much longer it's going to last.
Now, can you do us a favour and get as close as possible and really put your nose in there? Because the whole reason we've sent you down there is to be able to pass on the scents for people that might not be able to go.
Yes, okay. All right, I'm gonna get in real close. We're getting into a bush here.
You can
Thank
watch.
You so much.
You
Someone
might be
just
able
said
to see Jess
dress.
On the live stream there.
Okay, all right, I'm getting right up close. Okay, here we go. Yep, about the same smell as you'd expect.
Really? Like it actually smells like something rotten.
I mean, yeah, like I said, just kind of like off meat, I guess.
I can't see you on the live stream, Jess. I really need you to get closer.
Is that better?
You are quite short, so I know there is a woman with a white t-shirt
look,
and grey hair.
Yeah, you probably said
the wrong person. I would love for you to get close, get on screen. Oh, I see your head. There we go. You put the microphone up to it. What do you mean? There she is.
I thought maybe if I put the mic close, it would transmit through the airwaves.
So again, for people that are listening, Will from the newsroom is watching the live stream as well, and he can see you as well.
This is Tim and Jess.
That's another Will giggle that you can hear in the background. Thank you very much for coming by again.
That's all right. Can I tell my little zinger that I did
here
yesterday?
We go.
Can I do it?
A little Will zinger.
So I did the run for Geelong.
You did. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Very impressive time.
And I recognised the person who won because he passed me. And I saw him talking to some police officers after the run, just casually talking to them. So I thought I'd walk past and say, "What have you done, mate? Gone a bit fast, have you?"
You've changed what you said.
I know.
I told this story earlier. You said, did they ping you for running too fast?
Yeah.
Oh, and these strangers, they thought this was funny?
Usually when I do these things in public, I sort of just keep going.
Yeah.
Like I keep walking.
This time you stopped and waited for your applause.
But there was a bit of chuckle.
So all they would have heard is, "Oh, did they pull you over because you were running too fast?" Like, what did that bloke say? I don't know. Anyway, Will.
Another town crazy.
I've come in here because I'm putting you and Jess under a bit of pressure. Exam cram. Why do we do exam cram, Jess?
Well, because we are standing in solidarity with all of the Year 12 students across our beautiful state and particularly here in Geelong, Surf Coast and the Ballerine as VC exams continue.
Exam cramming the day before the exam. So tomorrow, chemistry and history revolutions will be taking place. I'll be testing both of you.
Will, you are really going to have to like help me out with chemistry.
Yes.
But history revs is where I live and breathe, baby.
I mean,
so
your husband is a full-blown chemical engineer.
No, he's an energy trader now. He left his chemical days behind.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with chemistry. What is the main reason why helium makes your voice sound high-pitched when you inhale it? Don't do this, by the way. Is it A, it's lighter than air, so it increases the speed of sound in your vocal cords? B, helium reacts with your vocal cords, making them vibrate faster? Or C, helium blocks low sounds and amplifies high sounds?
I have no idea.
I think I'd say B.
B.
You think it's helium reacts with your vocal cords making them vibrate faster?
Yeah.
No. Oh. Helium is lighter than air, so it increases the speed of sound in your vocal cords, of course.
Obviously. Naturally.
I thought that one was... I did silly answers for the second one.
You did silly.
B and C were sillies.
Were they sillies?
Sorry. Which of these... Second question. Which of these is not a state of matter? A, solid. B, liquid. C, plasma. Or D, fire.
D, fire.
Yeah, I think fire. Yeah.
I did not realise that this would stop down your brains.
I don't like chemistry, Tim.
Okay. Sorry, Jess. It's a bit mean. Final question before we move on to history revolutions. What gas do plants produce during photosynthesis?
Is it
oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitrogen, or helium?
They release oxygen, don't they? Because that's why we want to have plants around, so we can breathe.
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it?
Like that they take in carbon dioxide and they
What gas do plants produce?
Produce
during photosynthesis.
Oxygen.
Yeah.
Is oxygen a gas?
Will's got no idea. It is oxygen. Some people think it's carbon dioxide.
Right.
But no.
No, because we breathe out carbon dioxide.
All right. Yeah. And guess what? You're not.
A scientist.
A plant.
Oh, okay. Now, come on, let me shine.
Right,
here we go.
History revolutions. This is one of Jess's favourite subjects. Who led the famous salt march during India's independence movement?
I didn't do India, did I?
Was it A, the Dalai Lama, B, Virat Kohli, C, Mahatma Gandhi, or D, Whoopi Goldberg?
A.
You think it was the Dalai Lama?
I'm going to go with C.
You think it's Mahatma Gandhi? It is.
Yeah, naturally.
Come on, Jess. Your husband's an Indian chemical engineer, and you are letting
this
him down.
Mean.
You are letting him down on all fronts right now. This is out of absolute. Okay, Jess, here's this one specifically for you.
Okay.
The Russian Revolution.
Okay, here we go.
In 1917 led to the rise of which political ideology in Russia? Democracy, communism, monarchy, or fascism?
B, communism.
Yep.
Will just nodded his head. It's radio, Will. Come on. What has happened to you two? What has happened to you two? It's all falling apart. Finishing strong.
Let's
history
do this.
Revolutions. I'm so angry. I don't know why.
Why?
What is the name of the indigenous Australian custom of dreaming that explains the creation of the world? Is it A, dream time, B, spirit walk, or C, walk about?
It's A, dream time.
It is.
Yeah. What's that got to do with revolutions?
Well, it's because that's the history of the Indigenous Australians.
And but that's Australian history. It's a different subject, bro.
He's already angry enough, Jess. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why, but he is.
Turned off her microphone. You're about to lose yours too, Will, if you don't
why?
Say something clever in a second.
Well, thank you.
I've cut his off as well. No one gets their microphones.
I don't need a microphone.
Yeah, no, you don't. All right, well... Good luck for your exams tomorrow. God knows that didn't help. All right, I've turned off. Jess, they can't hear you.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I want to talk about lending things to people because I'm really bad at both giving people their items back when they lend them to me, but also retrieving items that I've lent to people.
My big thing with that is books.
Yes.
Like I don't have a lot of books, and somehow I still, like, I have 5 books that I think I've read in full over the last like 5 years. And I know that I've given them to people. Who though?
Once I've read it, I just go, oh, you want to read this? Absolutely. Here you go. Give it back, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I forget it exists.
100%.
And a friend of mine recently, literally this weekend, called me up and said, hey, I have your copy of Wicked. The novel.
Oh, the novel, right.
Right? So as a kid, I was obsessed with the musical Wicked. And when I was 15, I bought the book because I was going to see the musical and I was so excited about it. And me and my best mate, Maddie, we were both obsessed with Wicked. And so once I'd finished, I gave her the book to read.
Yeah,
and
she wanted to share it.
She was like, absolutely. Oh my God, I love it. Thank you so much. And then 18 years has passed.
Oh, I stopped listening at the time part. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were telling a separate story. Okay.
18 years she's had this book. And on the weekend she said, hey, I was cleaning out my room actually. And I was wondering, do you want your copy of Wicked back? And I was like, copy of Wicked? She's like, yeah, you lent me this book when we were 15. I said, Madison! Oh my God!
That is a decent amount of time.
I, first of all, had forgotten that I even owned a copy. Haven't read it in years, obviously. And I don't even know if it's worth me taking it back at this point.
It's actually super funny you bring this up today. Over the weekend, my best mate, like my childhood best mate, came around. And I decided that it was one of the risky times to open the old PlayStation 2, which is in an old, like, James Bogues box, like an old case. And we only bring it out every now and then because I'm scared every time I turn it on. Much like my Nintendo 64.
I was going to say, don't you have a Nintendo 64 that, you do the same thing
that
with?
That comes out far less. But I was like, oh, let's, like, we used to play PlayStation growing up. Let's unbox it. Let's plug it in, see if it works. We're playing it. I'm going through the games that I could find from Mum and Dad's house. And there was a game from 2006. And I know I've borrowed it from someone.
Oh, God.
I just can't remember who. Because I'm like, I never bought this game. It was like FIFA World Cup 2006.
Right.
The Germany edition.
Oh, naturally, the best one.
And there are three people that I think it could be. But it's coming up on 20 years now that I've had this PlayStation.
Is it worth
game.
Giving it back?
Well, I don't know who to give it to.
Well, was it your mate Nick?
No, it wasn't him. I think it's Jordan. I'm not sure, but that's a long time to have something. And that's...
Well, 18 years. I mean, I almost want to go back and read the book again. I nearly downloaded it on my Kindle because I was like, well, I want to read it before I watch the movie. Anyway, 5223295. How long have you had something that you've borrowed?
And it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Because...
Maybe you lent something and you completely forgot the other person had it. Maybe they did return it after all these years. Maybe it was an old library book and you've just claimed it as your own because you're too embarrassed to give it back.
Because I guess, like, especially libraries back in the day, the system probably wasn't as good as it is now. Mm-hmm. You could definitely have library books and they don't even know that you've still got it.
On 5223295, we're asking, how long have you had something that you've borrowed?
Yep, all right. Kerry and Lara, well, tell us.
Hello, guys. I borrowed a baby book from my girlfriend, one of those ones that, you know, what to expect at this time and this time and this time throughout the pregnancy. And I was cleaning up my bookshelf the other day and had a look and thought, oh, I don't think she'll need this anymore. My son turns 21 next month.
Kerry.
I know.
But Kerry,
I completely forgot I had it.
Is there a chapter at the end of the book that tells you how to deal with a 21-year-old?
I wish.
Kerry, if anything, it doesn't make sense to return it to your friend. You should just pass it to your son and be like, look, you're next. It's probably just easier to pass it down.
Absolutely. Wow. When our kid gets pregnant first, gets it. That's, like, oh my Lord.
I don't know how accurate all the information in that book would be as of now.
A shot of whiskey before bed to make them sleep, and that is A-OK. Catherine in Highton, tell us, what's something that you didn't realise you'd borrowed or you didn't realise someone had borrowed from you for a long time?
Well, it's a little bit different here. I didn't borrow it. My niece borrowed three books out of a series from one of my friends probably 15 years ago and then gave them to me to give back. I've moved interstate, brought them to Victoria with me and never given them back.
God! So your friend's sitting there blaming your niece, going, this is why we can't trust the youngins.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is it something now that it's just not worth actually telling?
Well, it's part of a set. You should probably... Are you going to mail them back, Catherine? Have we just reminded you that you need to do that?
Yeah, I think I probably should.
Yeah.
Okay.
Merry Christmas. Yes, here's some books that you might need. Yeah.
I think it's definitely... I don't know. To me, it's just... It's yours now.
Oh, you think they can claim it?
I think after 5 years,
Tim,
the statute of limitations passed.
I think Adam from Leopold can definitely claim the thing that he's borrowed. Adam, can you tell Tim and everyone listening?
I can. It's a drop-dead Fred copy on DVD from Blockbuster many, many years ago. And I still have it in the original case with the 3 to 10 day hire on it.
3 to 10 days?
It's been a little bit longer than that. Hey, Adam, was it a good movie?
Oh, it's brilliant. My kids love it now.
Adam, I imagine when everyone was getting sad that Blockbuster and Video Easy were starting to shut down, everyone was like, oh, that's sad. We used to love that. And you're sitting there going, yes, they're out of business. No one can chase me down.
Well, I may have seen them broke. I don't know.
Adam, how much do you reckon you owed in late fees?
I don't know, and I don't want to calculate it up
that's
now,
fair.
But it'll probably be worth more than what I can afford.
I've just realised as well, Adam, that there might be a generation of people listening that all this language we're using about borrowing discs and
right.
late fees.
Okay, for those who are listening and don't know what Blockbuster is, yeah. imagine Netflix, but you have to go into a physical shop.
Yeah.
And instead of just clicking on what movie, you had to pay $5 or, you know, $10 for 10 weeklies.
Yes. Or and you get it for 7 to 10 days mm-hmm. or 7 to 10 years or 10 to 20 years, just like Adam.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Today, I know we do a show for Geelong Surf Coast and the Bellarine every day, but it's like an Uber Geelong show
oh, yeah.
today. Because we wanted to celebrate some local Geelong legends who are making the news right around the country right now.
Making the news for just being obsessed with one band in particular.
I mean, it's like you see stories like this and you think, it'll never be me. But for April Brown and James Spencer from East Geelong, newlyweds, they had essentially their dreams come true. We'll get into the specifics in a moment. They join us now. April, James, thank you for coming by the Tim and Jess Show.
No worries. Our pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Now, you have just landed back from Sydney today. Can you tell everyone what you might have been doing up there?
Well, we might have been going to just a couple of Coldplay shows.
Yeah, just a few.
So, from what I understand, you went to, did you go to all of the Melbourne and all of the Sydney Coldplay shows?
Correct.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Impressive. That's commitment. Now, the big thing that's taken place, and I believe this happened on Thursday night, you had a sign, and Chris Martin saw your sign. It said, "We postponed our honeymoon to be here," and he got you up on stage. Is that right?
Yes, that is 100% factual.
Oh my God. Okay, tell us honestly, April. Was that better than your wedding day?
Look, it came pretty close to yeah. I'm not going to lie.
And so now you got to sit next to, both of you got to sit next to Chris Martin while he played yeah. Magic. Is that right, when the band played Magic?
Yes, it was just Chris up on stage and we sat next to him at the piano while he played
wow.
it.
Well, I've got a snippet of the song here. Let's have a listen. Now, from the footage that I've seen, it's pouring rain and you're both kind of just sitting there, kind of not in belief that it's actually happening. Now, James, what was it like for you? Because I know April's a super fan and you've become a massive fan of Coldplay yourself. What was that like, getting up on stage with Coldplay?
It was pretty magical. To see April up there and have her happy was amazing.
Oh,
that's very
singing
cute.
Along with Chris Martin and doing the perfectly in tune singing with Chris. So it was awesome to see her do that.
Because, like, I'm not, like, I know with Taylor Swift shows, there's certain things that happen every single show. Like, she'll get yeah. someone up on stage. You're probably the best two people to ask this because you went to all of the shows that Coldplay played. Does this happen at every show? Does someone get to go up on stage and interact with him, or was this just a spur of the moment thing?
Yeah, so they pick one person. Well, he picks one person in the audience every night. So it's called, the section's called Songbook. So everybody brings along a sign that requests a particular song, and then he just basically chooses someone at complete random, like during that section. So you never know who he's going to pick.
So why did you guys choose Magic?
I just think it's a really lovely song, and I think it kind of represents our relationship really nicely, and the fact that we're starting on this, like, the continuing our adventure together, now being just married, I think it just fit really well for us.
Yeah,
so definitely. Cute. And was Magic a part of your wedding day?
We played it during the day when we were getting ready. Right. But we had other Coldplay songs playing on the night.
The night itself was magical. Yeah. So I guess you could say that was the overarching theme. But it's impressive to see, like, from what I understand, since 2008, you have flown all around the world, April, to see Coldplay. Jess does have a question. It might sound offensive, but... Jess has been wanting to ask, and you're probably the perfect person to ask this to.
You are the perfect person to ask this to, because Tim and I, when we found out the Coldplay were coming down under and they were filling Marvel Stadium, not once, not twice, but like multiple times, we had to ask, like, what is it about Coldplay for you? Like, I know that there are people out there that are huge Swiftie fans, there's big Pink fans. What is it about Coldplay that's always drawn you to them and that makes you travel all over the world and spend all this money on tickets?
I just think that they're just really good people, the band. Like, all four of them are really friendly and happy, and they spread a nice message. Like, it's always about love and community and respecting each other, and I think that just makes you feel really valued as a fan. And all of the people that we've met over the years are just amazing people, like all the fans. So I think it's just a really lovely community that makes us want to keep coming back and experiencing that together.
Well, a couple of Geelong locals shining bright on stage with Chris Martin in Sydney for Coldplay. And I guess also the fact that Coldplay, other than Taylor Swift, are the only other people to have made $1 billion with music, that's also probably...
Yeah,
so many people want to see him. April and James.
Half of that was from April and James, I believe.
Fair enough. From East Geelong, April, James, thank you so much for swinging by the Tim and Jess Show.
Thank you.
This is Tim and Jess.
We did speak about this a little bit earlier in the show, but I've had a realization today, and it's kind of come out of nowhere, and everyone has this moment. It might not have happened to you. If it hasn't happened, it's coming like a freight train.
Okay.
Filled in for Will's from the newsroom's cricket team this weekend, the Newcombe Bulls.
Heard that you were both underwhelming.
Oh, mate. I wish, like, the storybook version of this, we come back, we talk about all the great things we did, and it's just...
I heard from both accounts, like, you know, as we talked about earlier, like, Will talked
Will's
to me
more
this
disappointed
morning,
and angry and than
was,
I am.
He was like, oh, you know, I had a real chance to, like, impress Tim on the weekend. And I failed. But I guess he also had a chance to impress me and I wasn't very impressed either.
So that was the general feeling about it. And one of the best things about cricket, for the most part, what I love about it is you're either kind of doing a bit of nothing or you're doing a lot of something. So you're either, whether if you're batting and you're running between wickets, wearing all the pads and stuff, it's out in the sun, it's a fair bit. If you're out in the field and you're in a position where, like, the ball's
it's not a lot of running, is it? Like,
yeah, it's
like,
a lot of running.
No, but it's like short spurts, like, unless you're batting. Like,
short sprints are tiring.
Yeah.
Wearing all the gear.
But you're not like full like running like in soccer. Like,
oh,
where
I'm
just
sorry, Ricky
constantly.
Ponting. Would you like to chime in on this one?
As someone who's never played any cricket, Tim, I don't really know.
I don't know why you're picking this to
All
to
I remember is sitting and watching my brother stand in a field for hours on end.
And I definitely did that. But I did. Like I said before, I didn't have to bat. I was the next person in to bat, and I didn't want to.
Gorgeous.
I didn't like batting, so I didn't have to run with all the pads on. But there was general, like, bowled a little bit in the field, few dives, whatever.
Oh, dives.
But, like, the thing is, again, I didn't do excessive amounts of movement.
Yeah.
And what has hit me in the last 48 hours is the time where your body goes, so I don't know if we can do this anymore.
DOMS?
Well, it's not DOMS, it's just aches.
Oh.
Which is almost worse than DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness.
Have you had any, like, involuntary sounds coming out of your body when you stand up?
I walked down the hallway and my knee clicked the whole way. It was on time. It was like a metronome.
I get that looked at.
Yeah. And, like, I was saying to Chris from Workdays, I was like, I used to...
Another great athlete
another
of
great
the
athlete.
Station.
Well, but I was like, when I used to play footy and you'd train twice a week, you'd play a game, you'd get tackled, you're running a lot more than cricket, like you're saying, like, you're running a lot more, doing all these, you're getting your head driven into the turf, all these things. You would wake up like nothing happened when you were younger. And now if I'm a giant pile of a wreck after playing one fill-in game of cricket, I was like, I can never play football again. And I didn't know I'd played my last game of football.
I mean, you still have hopes for the Armstrong Creek Sharks to start
one
a men's
day,
team.
If they start a men's team, because I am not 16, so I can't play under 16s.
Are you, maybe you're not cut out for like seniors cricket. Maybe you need to do like veterans.
Masters yeah. League. That'd be excellent. But cricket is, it's all masters. Because cricket, you can play, like the people we were playing with, they were in their 50s and 60s.
Oh.
So.
Were they taking bigger dives than you?
No. That was for sure. But they figured it out.
Sure.
They figured out I was running around like an idiot.
So maybe you just need to wait 20 more years till you're in your 50s and then it's your time to shine again.
Because I have no excuse. I'm only 31. So yeah. I'm still young enough where it's like, come on, mate, you go do all this, you go do all that. But what I wanted to knuckle down on, if you are getting a little bit older, if you haven't had this freight train hit you yet, choo-choo, it's coming. It caught me off guard. I didn't realize I was standing on the tracks and I have been cleaned up by this train where my body's going, look, I don't know if we can keep doing this. Like now I'm thinking of proper preparation for everything.
Oh, God.
Everything moving forward, I have to properly prepare. The amount of creams that I'm going to have to buy today. I didn't think this would be my life. Like AFL players play into their 30s. AFLW players play into their 40s.
Please do not compare yourself to a proper athlete.
I
know in your mind you think you could play for Essendon.
Well, at the moment anyone could. So, yes. But, yeah. The train could be at your station next. You just never know.
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Get down on it. That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.